It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for a big, big, big show, a week three fantasy football player props preview show, and it's an all business edition. So Cody, let's get right into it. When we talk about all business, we of course talk about our business, rosterwatch.com. You can go with the QR code there on the screen, or if you're listening to this on podcast, just go to rosterwatch.com, sign up for a pro or premium membership to get access to all of our rankings, the DFS cheat sheets, the Hyper DFS lineup generator, the player prop cheat sheet, which hit last week. Do we hit 70% last week? 69.2?
I think it did end up right there at 70.
Yep. So, you know, full transparency, we didn't even hit 500 in week one, but week two was a big week. And as we get more data, we get better at this. So make sure and go get the player prop cheat sheet. We hit last year over the course of the season at a 62% clip for the whole year going to the Super Bowl. So go check that out. It's a great way to support us and also get all of our content, like the matchup tool, snap counts, touches, targets, waiver wire cheat sheets. We'll have the live sit start thread to answer all of your questions on Sunday morning before lineup lock at 1 p.m. So go check that out, rosterwatch.com. Thank you very much. All right, Cody, a bunch to get into today. I wanted to start out with, we're going to hit on some of these big games. We'll talk about some rankings disparities and talk about some DFS stuff. But I think the first thing, speaking of DFS, is we need to figure out what we're doing as far as overall consensus rankings here for Ken Walker. Now that Zach Charbonnet is not going to be playing here at home versus New Orleans, which is our sixth ranked matchup of the week for opposing running backs. I had to take out the model's output on this because clearly the model was not the model doesn't know that there's no Zach Charbonnet whenever it's looking at the data from the earlier in this season from Ken Walker. So once you take that out and recalibrate rankings, I have him to where I'm considering him along the same lines as these dudes like Bucky Irving and Jahmyr Gibbs. I think you could put him up there with Derrick Henry and stuff where we had James Cook, definitely a top 10 running back on the week. Could go as high as running back five. If you consider the volume that he could be straddled up with and his traditional use in the receiving game, what are you going to do with Kenneth Walker? Where do you see him kind of slotting in?
I feel like you over jumped him a little bit. I don't know. That's just my personal feel for where it's at right now. We've seen the last 2 weeks. I know that, and I talked about this on Monday in the Top 10 Thoughts show, but the Charbonnet-Walker split this year has been very much in Charbonnet's favor as far as utilization, starting each drive, who's getting the carries. And it just so happened that, like, in week one, the drives were longer with Charbonnet, and in week two, it was very inefficient with Charbonnet, and Ken Walker popped a couple of runs. Charbonnet still outsnapped him, still outtouched him, and was still utilized on more of the first and second downs. So that's not to say they don't believe in Ken Walker, is not what I'm going with this. It's more of like, obviously, this is going to be Ken Walker's backfield. I wonder how much a George Helani is going to be utilized.
They're not going to play. I can't believe we're bringing up Helani.
They will play George Helani. They're not going to give Ken Walker 90% of the snaps. I guarantee that. You go back to last year, the guy never crested 76% of the snaps. Like, he just never did. So They know the injury risk with him. We know the injury risk with him. I think the upside is the player that we know he can be, which is the guy we saw come out of Michigan State and that we comped to, you know, the Breece Halls of the world that we've seen comped from, you know, player profile comped him to LaDainian Tomlinson because of the electricity that he runs with. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying he can't be RB1 in a given week. I just wonder what the snap share looks like, the split looks like, if a whole, how much a Holani plays in that backfield. So I moved him up from – I had him at 15 when we knew Charbonnet was questionable to doubtful early in the week. When Charbonnet was listed out, I bumped him up to RB12. I just – I'm not prepared to put him ahead of guys like a Derrick Henry against Detroit at home, a Bucky Irving against the Jets at home, who's got a top five matchup.
Who's also missing three of his starting offensive linemen.
Who, Bucky?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've seen – but Bucky can continue – I mean, it's not going to – Bucky's not going to suck because he's missing his offensive lineman. They're just going to continue to throw him the football. So, like, I trust what I've seen consistently over time from a Henry, from a Gibbs, from a Bucky. I'm just not – like, again, I put him at running back 12 because I believe he can finish as an RB1 in the week. I think he's most likely going to finish an RB1 in the week. I'm just not prepared to put him into the top five and put him ahead of some of these guys that we know are going to get the touches because they've consistently done it. So I guess you'd say more on the fence with Ken Walker about being hyper bullish than you are.
Well, I have trouble not putting him at least if you want to not put him ahead of Derrick Henry, that's fine. But I still think he's got to go ahead of Josh Jacobs in a bad matchup. You don't think so? Javonte Williams. I mean, he's got a great matchup. Mason. It's hard to figure out.
I mean, I got Josh Jacobs as running back 22. So I'm not even in on the Josh Jacobs side of things, but I like Javonte. I like Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason in Minnesota this week, they're going to run that. They might run the football 26 times with him in that offense with still no Darisaw. Like I think they might lean into him. What we've seen from Javonte, like that game in general, we can talk about the games, but like Dallas and Chicago, it should be the highest scoring game without a doubt, unless all fails. And Javonte is going to be a big part of that. He's been scoring touchdowns. He should have had 100 yards for the first time in over 2.5 years. Like I think Javonte's back and got the juice. Again, we've seen Ken Walker deal with injuries already in the preseason, let alone the last couple of years. I'm just not ready to go push the chips in on Ken Walker as a top five running back in a given week. Again, because we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen the consistency. We haven't seen the healthiness. We haven't seen the belief and the trust from the Seattle Seahawks.
But we're just talking about this week. We're not talking about drafting him for the whole year. If you have him on your team, you've already drafted him. And he's only played a 38% snap count this whole year. So it's like and he's averaging what, 12.1 PPR points per game? So if he does, so that's exactly half of that 76% crest that you had talked about before. We're talking about going against the Saints, where they should be in a positive game script. They're 7-point favorites at home. Is there weather in this one? So they're saying there's some light drizzle is possible. The other rain games, it looks like at Tampa, there's a slight chance of rain. Jacksonville, slight chance of afternoon rain. There's also some issues with some sustained winds there. This is via Kevin Roth over on Roto Grinders. He says that in the Texans and Jacksonville game that we're also adding sustained winds near 15 miles per hour gusts from 20 to 25. Neither the chance of rain nor the wind looks like a high impact issue. So that's Houston at Jacksonville. Saints at Seahawks, he's not worried. He says maybe some light drizzle. The one he worries about the most is the one that we talked about earlier. It looks like Dallas at Chicago, there is a chance here. Scattered storms in the general area. Looks like the ones with the highest chance to end up under a downpour this week. Overall storm coverage is 50% or less, so I wouldn't make bets based on expected rain, but something to keep in mind there. So not sure if that segues us into talking about Chicago.
Do you have Javonte ahead of or behind Ken Walker?
I guess I'm going to have him ahead of Javonte.
Because if we're being completely straight up with this, the way teams are built right now, there are teams out there that have Javonte, that have Ken Walker, and that also have one of the top dogs. So there's a situation where you're asking yourself whether you're playing Javonte or Ken Walker in a given week. That's kind of the point.
I mean, Javonte's hard to bench right now. And he's going against one of the top matchups, but I mean, it's a top matchup for Ken Walker too. And I don't have this belief in George Helwani like you do.
I never said I had a belief in George Helwani. George Helwani beat out Damian Martinez, who was a 6-round draft pick and a good runner at Oregon State and Miami. And George Helwani made the roster because they like him on special teams and because he can play football. I just don't believe that they're going to say, Ken Walker, sup, buddy, here's 90% of the touches in week three.
So on Prize Picks, are you taking under 18.5 rushing attempts?
For Ken Walker?
Yeah, that's what he's sitting at.
That's a great line.
I mean,
that's a great line.
I look at it. I'm like, I go, that seems like a lot. I kind of like the over 2.5 receptions better.
Yep, I would lean more towards the receptions.
I think he's averaging 2 receptions a game. You know, if there's no Sharp and he's getting double the snap share, he's going to catch more than 2 balls. We actually ought to add that onto the player prop cheat sheet, I think.
Ken Walker hasn't had over 18. He had over 18 touches twice last year against the Rams in week 9 and in week 1 against the Broncos, 20 and 25.
What do you do in the 25 touch game?
25 for 83, no touchdowns, so 8.3 points, and then 3 receptions, 24, so another 5 points. So a 14-point game.
No. And that was versus Denver?
That was against the Rams in week 9. Against Denver in week 1, he had 100 yards, a touchdown, 2 receptions, 6 yards. So he got you to 19 in that game. He
definitely got you there. I think we decided that that's kind of where it is. It's going to be a tough choice if you have a flex choice between Javonte Williams and Ken Walker this week. I think I lean Ken Walker though.
In that Chicago Dallas game, that is like, I mean, most people's favorite game of the week. It's the highest point total, 50.5. Cowboys 1.5 point dog on the road. I think it's a juicy matchup for both these quarterbacks. But you look at the injuries in this game on the Bears' back end. Kyler Gordon's out with a hamstring. Jalen Johnson, who's been in and out all year with a groin, he's out. Jalen Jones, another cornerback that they love, out with a hamstring. And then their leading tackler, T.J. Edwards, from last year, leading tackler, the linebacker, he's out as well. And on the Cowboys side, Deron Bland is out, a cornerback. And yeah, a couple of other guys are banged up, but it looks like Trevon Diggs is going to play in this one. Like, I just think this game has all the makings of just kind of like the proverbial. And it's like, honestly, Alex, of all the games, I think a lot of these games, especially like against the spread and stuff, like picking the winner just generally in all these games this weekend feels tough. This game feels at least like it's going to give us a little bit of a spark on the afternoon game of the week, where hopefully it's going to be a high 20s game or both these teams get into the 30s again. Because obviously the Bears have given up 39.5 points per game the first 2 weeks of the season, and the defense is banged up. Like, I just think you got Pickens, obviously you got Lamb, Ferguson's a play, the Javonte. Like, I think everything in this game is hands on deck. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze. I think I'm all in on everything here.
Dude, the only way I want to play DJ Moore is if I tell myself the story that they're going to try and feature him to get to trade him away. It feels like Rome is just taking over there. And if you're playing DFS this week, just to be, you know, completely clear about it, it's like if you're playing cash games on DraftKings, the build this week is going to be, or the build that you're going to see from all the dudes that use, you know, the projection sites and stuff like that, you're going to have, you're going to pay down for one of the quarterbacks, either Carson Wentz or Marcus Mariota. And then you're going to play Jordan Mason, who's just locked in like at 5,600. He's a great play. And then in your flex, you'll put Ken Walker because he's playing in the afternoon. You'll play probably either Bijan or Christian McCaffrey with your RB2. And then what that does is then it just depends if you want to play Trey McBride or whether you want to get down to a Juwan Johnson, Tyler Warren, if he plays, et cetera. But the wide receivers you're going to be choosing from are all these, like, you know, Keenan Allen's 4,700. He's going to get jammed in. And Rome is another one. This is I forget what he is. What is he, 53? He's going to get jammed in. And CeeDee Lamb is the other one that people are going to pay up for. They're going to want to get that mini correlation between CeeDee Lamb and Roma Dunze. And then the only real question you have then is, you know, do you pay up at tight end or do you pay all the way down at tight end? And instead of playing like a Keenan Allen, can you save the money from Trey McBride down to Juwan Johnson or one of these types of, like, Goddard's cheap? get down to one of those guys, and then you can pay up instead of Keenan Allen, you can pay up to get up to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And that's how it's going to look this week. So it's going to be popular in that game, Cody, but I'm not sure that people are going to be playing like the whole, like, I don't think people are going to be, maybe they're going to be playing the quarterbacks in this game. I've heard some talk about Caleb. I kind of like Dak.
I think most people will like Dak more. Caleb's still in search of his first career 30-point game. And I think the rushing that we saw in week one, which I thought he just looked different as a runner in week one with some explosion and kind of just like his abilities. And I think this is a game. I'll just say this. I think Caleb Williams gets his first career 30-point game in this one against Dallas. I think they're going to get the ball out. DJ Moore has been target. It's not like he's been a complete donut. He's had 11 targets this year. He hasn't been the most impressive, but his only game in his career against Dallas, I think he had 8 receptions, 113, and 2 touchdowns, but that was back in 2021, obviously, with Carolina. Again, they haven't used Luther Burden. They've
kind of They need to start using Loveland. When are they going to start? You don't draft those guys for nothing, dude. It's your first and second round picks.
And you also look at where this team is right now, like a tough loss on Monday Night Football to the Vikings, a blowout at Detroit. Now they're back home and they kind of have a Cowboy team that is gettable. And we saw that last week. And Ben Johnson's been able to score. I think the last time he played the Cowboys, he put 42 on him when he was with the Lions 2 years ago. And it's a game that I think DJ Moore is it's pukey. Nobody loves to do it, but I know my boy Matty Cullum's going to like to play a little DJ Moore, but I'm not against it, dude. I'm all in on all of these guys, all four receivers, Lamb, Pickens, Rome, and Moore. I know we want to see more Luther Burden, and I think Cole Kmet's fine, but I think those four receivers are all going to eat in this game, and I think Caleb Williams is going to get there, and I think he's going to get his first career 30-point game in this one.
Okay.
I got to push it all the way up to QB5. I love it. I love this game, period. This should be the game of the week. All right? It's in that 325 game slot. So,
yeah, and like we were talking about before the show, you say you prefer it in Dallas, but I just hate those Dallas afternoon games for the passing game. Sometimes when those long shadows come across Jerry World because of the weird way the sun comes, feels like that. Every afternoon game there, it's like somebody gets their eyes caught in the sun and they miss it, drop a deep ball.
Somebody gets swindled out of that 6.5 receptions because they dropped that one across the middle.
It's just hurt. Yeah, you're thinking about the same CeeDee Lamb one that I am at the 6.5 from last week. So that game, if you have those players, play the dudes, right? If you have specific questions, come to the website on Sunday morning and make sure to ask there in the comments section.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Any of these other games that you're really like that are standing out to you just from a fantasy playability standpoint? Some of the games with the, you know, the higher totals, of course, we have the highest total of the week is on Monday night with the Ravens game. What's that sitting at 53.5? But other than that, a lot of 43s to 46s as far as what I'm looking at here. I think the highest outside of that one was a 40. Was it a 46.5? And that was Denver at the Chargers.
Yeah, I saw it at 45.5 a couple of days ago, but it might have been up a point.
Thing, just before we get off Dallas, just one more quick thing, is that 38% of the tickets are on Dallas minus one, but 80% of the money is on Dallas minus one. So there's
of the tickets, but 80% of the money.
Yeah. So what that means is obviously like there are fewer people betting on it, but the people who are betting on Dallas minus one are the people that have a lot of money who are probably good at this. that's called a sharp trend there for Dallas. So that makes me feel a little bit better for Dallas for our circa millions in entry this week, Cody.
I think we're going to end up taking it. It looks like It looks like that's on the docket. I like it. I don't know. I think a lot of these games for our circa this week is
hard to pick.
A lot of them are going to be tight. Another game.
So we're talking about Denver, the Chargers, or do you want to talk? Like,
I want to talk about the Green Bay game.
Okay, because
the receiving core is driving me nuts.
Okay,
and also we got Quinshon Judkins in what should be an elevated role again. As now we at least going into the weekend, we know he's got a week of practice as the starting running back under his belt. Unlike last week where it was like Sunday morning and they're like, he's starting. And we're like, yo, hold up, wait a minute.
And my wife has this question for a cross positional question in one of her leagues, wherever like her team is her team's awesome in this league, but, she had Aaron Jones get hurt. And so now she's like having her flex is not quite as her flex is not quite as strong as it was. And so who would you play between in half PPR? Who would you play between Jerry Jeudy and Quinshon Judkins?
Quinshon Judkins.
I think I would too. That's that's where I've been leaning.
Quinshon Judkins.
I saw that one of the props that you had in the player prop cheat sheet at Roster Watch involves Quinshon Judkins in sort of an interesting angle there.
It's a brutal matchup too. It's the worst matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool. But I'm leaning into just opportunities. And if you look at opportunities with Quinshon Judkins, like from what we saw from Dylan Sampson in the receiving game in Week One with 20% target share, he scored 17 fantasy points, and that was in a tough game against the Bengals where they were in it till the end. Last week, all three of Sampson, Jerome Ford, and Quinshon scored 10 points in fantasy, 10.1 for Judkins, 10.4 for Ford, 10.9 for Sampson. I think that Sampson number comes down a little bit more in the snap opportunities. He went from 45% to 25% this last week. Ford went from 52% to 49%. And then Judkins only had 25% of snaps and scored 10 fantasy points, was targeted 7% of the time, and ran 16% of the routes. I think that Juggins number is going to go up to that 50% area.
Quinshon only played like 20 snaps, Cody.
And he's 25%. Like he's
He had three targets and 13 touches. It's like on like 20 snaps. It was either 20 or 21. I have him on the Roster Watch tool here at 27% of snaps. So you and I are right there together. But I think that number was actually that 27%, I think, was actually only 21 or 22 snaps. I don't have the pure snap tool pulled up right now. But, he got 13. Whenever he was in there, they were using the dickens out of him.
Yeah.
They're going to – when
18 snaps, 10 rush attempts, 3 targets. So 13
– It was 18?
18 snaps, 10 carries, 3 targets.
What if that happens for a football game?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that he's going to continue to neuter the snaps from Sampson, who's was at 50% or 45% to 25%, which is the same that Judkins had last week. He'll continue to take a little bit away from him, but I think he's going to really take a bite out of Jerome Ford this week, and Ford's going to come down to that low 30% area. And I think we're going to get Judkins at a 50% game. And even though it's a tough matchup against the Packers, who have a good pass rush and a pretty good run defense, they're obviously the number one matchup in the Roster Watch matchup tool, we're still going to get Judkins in a starting role, I think. And it's not going to be the Judkins in his purest form, but it's going to be, you know, a little bit better in shape Judkins, a whole week of practice as a starter under his belt. I truly believe that. So I'm not overly bullish on him. I think I got him right at running back 20 personally. I think as a team we're at running back 29 on him. So I think Judkins is a good play in this one. Sampson's probably not far behind. I think he's 43 for us? So he's really not that far behind Judkins at all. And I think that that's where you get the kind of the pass catching stuff if they get down.
He's not behind. We should have Judkins way ahead of him. We have Judkins.
Judkins is 29. Sampson's 43. He's not too far behind him.
Okay. And you and I have Judkins ranked much higher as trash man, and it's the projections and it's the model that's bringing him down to some degree. I wonder if I should take out the model on him.
On who?
Judkins.
What will that do? That will put him at.
It doesn't even move him up.
Then you move him. So, I think probably what, you know, the Sampson thing, I have Sampson ranked pretty aggressively. I just think that the pass catching, if they could get, I can visualize, like I know the number is 7.5 in this one, and we're debating taking 7.5 for the Packers as a favorite on the road. And that's kind of the direction I think. Like, I think Judkins is going to get his work. I just think Jerome Ford's a little dusty, and Sampson can get a lot of pass catching work that we've seen him do before in that one, if that game goes sour. The Packers side of the ball, We talked about Jacobs a little bit earlier. Well, but my biggest question here is,
we got good news just now about Tucker Kraft going to be able to go.
Say what?
About Kraft is going to be able to go.
I was just going to say that they just put – so Adam Schefter just reported that Jaden Reed's officially put on IR
as well. Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, dude, do you know what they did with Bird? Like, do you know what they did? They had – they gave him his shoulder surgery or his collarbone, whatever it was. And while they were at it, while he was under, they just brought in another surgeon just to fix his Jones fracture, just to take care of all of it. So, like, he's out for the year. You know what I mean? He's walking around like a Frankenstein. I guess they probably had to bring in a different surgeon.
What was it? Was Jones fracture and what? And the turf toe?
No, it was that he fell on his shoulder. I don't know what it was, but
were you talking about Reed? I thought you said Burrow.
Reed.
Oh.
No, Bird, man. I mean, they all called him Bird back at Michigan State. Jaden Reed. But they anyway. Apparently they did both. I was just thinking, could this is the same doctor using the same tools on his foot as it is?
They wouldn't do that in the pros. They would bring a different surgeon in as foot specialist. They wouldn't just be like, yo, this dude doing shoulders is going to start doing foot. They can do it to general surgeon with orthopedics, but they can do it, but they're not going to, I don't think that they're going to do that for a player like that.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a whole different recovery timeline when you have to add the foot into it to a shoulder.
So we are going to have Tucker Kraft back. There was the scare on Thursday. He didn't practice Friday, but they say he's going to play. So
we got to buy at week five. So
what do you, I mean, it's, I guess some people are going to want to play Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks, Matthew Golden.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I'm looking at our receiving room right now. And as a consensus, we have it Doubs. Where did Wicks go? Doubs, Golden, and then Wicks. And we're all lowest on Wicks. Trashman put a Wicks prop in here that caught my eye. That's why I was like, what?
Why do you not have a ranking?
Outside the top 50. I have Golden at running back, receiver 31 ahead of Doubs. So Golden's my favorite here, because last week, I guess it's just the easy connection is Love missed him twice. He had 2 for 130 and 2 touchdowns in the bag, and Love missed him point blank twice. And that's a connection thing, but I think it comes back to
fruition. We need to move Golden up. This is the kind of week where you got to step up, man.
Y'all got to move him up. The model freaking
we can take the model out on him then.
Take because the model out. He's going
to
jump up to like.
It isn't accounting. It's not accounting for Jaden Reed. And the other thing too is for some reason my ranking on him is not showing up. So I'll just do it here on the air. So Golden, I don't know why I don't have a ranking on him. So I'm going to move. So I would definitely play. I'm playing him over. All right. So I'm playing him over like Troy Franklin or so. I'm playing him over Jerry Jeudy. I mean, I think he should kind of be back to back with Romeo Doubs. I think I'm going to play Ridley and stuff over Golden.
I would play Ridley.
Would you play Pittman over him? Yeah. Number 8 matchup of the week. No. I'm going to have him at wide receiver 43, which moves him up in our consensus to wide receiver 52. Still feels low.
Still feels too low.
I mean, how is it like somebody – yeah, because it's like – why does the model love Rashid Shaheed? Because it's an idiot? What is this thing? The computer genius has gone off the rails, Cody.
Maybe it's giving us a warning flag.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
The Olave – I mean, Olave's good, so –
yeah.
The targets were – I didn't realize Shaheed had 9 targets last week, but it was very inefficient. It's not a Shaheed
Rattler's not a Shaheed type quarterback. He's an Olave Juwan Johnson quarterback.
Yeah. Juwan Johnson, speaking of Juwan Johnson, is – I mean, I was asked by a buddy today, if he should, first off, cut Mark Andrews.
Probably.
Why? Mark Andrews had two donuts last year, and he came back in at 9, 14, 20, 23. Like, we know he's been Lamar Jackson.
I would cut Mark Andrews if I could pick up a Juwan Johnson or a Harold Fannin Jr. or something like that off the waiver wire.
Well, that was his situation, was it was Juwan Johnson or David Njoku.
Oh. Yes, of course I want those guys over Andrews. I don't know. Would we feel different about Andrews if he doesn't, if he gets his feet down in the end zone for the one touchdown? Two weeks ago,
that was the thing.
That game, he only had one target. Wasn't it just one target?
Yeah, I feel like every other time, I've seen that exact play happen multiple times, and it's like he drops down, catches the ball, and then it's punched out. It's like sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't call it. Like, I'm not cutting this Mark Andrews thing. I'm not quick to run out on Mark Andrews. Like, we literally know that he is, without a doubt, Lamar Jackson's favorite receiver, like his favorite.
No, he's not. It's Zay Flowers.
No, go ask Lamar who his favorite is. He'll tell you every time. Okay, it's Mark.
All right. He could tell me the sky's green. Who do I believe? Lamar Jackson or my lion eyes? Come on, dude. Spencer Rattler can tell me that he hates throwing to Juwan Johnson, and I just look and I'm like, well, 11 targets 1 week, 9 targets 1 week. Like, that isn't true. The sky is blue; it's not green.
48 career touchdowns to each other,
and at age what now?
29.
And okay. How many career targets so far this year? Look, I'm not saying you have to drop Mark Andrews, but I would certainly drop him to not at least keep him on your roster, but it's like to have not gone out and gotten a Juwan Johnson or a Harold Fannin by now, and
well, that's malpractice.
Playing them over him, like that's insanity, and it's malpractice. Nobody who listens to this show would have done that. We were talking on the week one waiver wire about those two. So
I'm going to make a lineup this week with DJ Moore and Mark Andrews in it for DFS.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. I would definitely recommend, if you're going to do that, make sure and go over to rosterwatch.com, get the DFS cheat sheet, just load up a couple of those hyper DFS lineups to offset your losses from that one. All right, guys, come and see us on the site. If you have questions about this weekend, we're going to be there to answer them. Love you guys. We appreciate you. Good luck, and we'll see you soon.